This is Carl the Jackal Frampton.
Hi, this is David Healy.
Hello, this is Stephen Ferris.
Hi, I'm Bethany Ferris.
Hi, this is Joey Barton.
I'm Jonas Gutierrez.
Hi, this is Harry Kuehl.
And you're listening to The Score.
The Score with Michael Clark.
Hello and welcome along to The Score here on Lisburn's 98 FM and Bangor FM with me, Michael Clark. It's the final show of this series. Here's what's coming up. We'll be previewing the Irish Cup final between Crusaders and Ballymena United. On the programme, Adam Leckie and Leroy Miller. They're giving us their thoughts ahead of Saturday's big game at Windsor Park. And before that, it's a small matter of survival for Portadown and promotion for Anna United. Which will it be? From the Ports, we'll be hearing from Billy Steadman, and from Anna, it will be Niall Henderson. What a show. It's all coming up right here on The Score.
The Score with Michael Clark.
It's good to have you along with us for this, the final show of the season, and we will be hearing all about the Irish Cup final in a little while on the programme. Before we do that, a big congratulations to Linfield and champions once again, fourth year in a row, fifth time in six campaigns. That is a really impressive feat. And as I was saying, on the day, the final game of the season, I was, of course, at the Oval. Bad teams don't win the league. And Linfield's manager, David Healy, was pretty strong in what he said afterwards, wasn't he, about the minority who haven't been backing him. But for those who, know what they're watching, they know that the Linfield side have had to really overcome quite a lot this season. And whether you buy into transitions or not, whether you accept that it's difficult or not to go full time, and people will not be convinced in certain arguments and will say with the resources they should be doing it. Well, with that level of scrutiny, others will certainly be feeling not too wise, I guess, feeling not as happy. But Linfield got the job done. Cliftonville have been fantastic. They pushed them all the way. They couldn't capitalise on any of those games post-split where they had a chance to. And at the end of the day, they just fell short. It's been a remarkable Premiership season again. I think all of us knew by half-time on Saturday of last week where the title was headed. If you didn't know already, if you were on the fence, or if maybe you were just hoping beyond hope that something would work out, and Cliftonville scoring early gave that bit of an adrenaline shot as well. But Linfield, two quick goals from Ben Hall and Chris McKee, and that was it. Title done and dusted. So well done to the Blues. Commiserations to Cliftonville, who can take a lot away from their campaign. And we will be very interested to see who comes out on top in the Euro playoffs, which, dependent on how the Irish Cup final goes, will have slightly different permutations. Welcome back to the big time, to Newry City as champions. Will Anna United be joining them, though? That is the question. They lost 3-2 on Tuesday. Let's hear from their captain, Niall Henderson. I was speaking to him yesterday, and I began by asking him about that game and his thoughts on it.
I suppose it was a typical, probably, Irish League game. There was a lot of chances at both ends, and both teams came out and had a go. And listen, it was fast flowing. It was probably, quality wasn't probably flying from it, but it was would have been an excitement, I would imagine, for the neutral or for any fans there that was down watching. It was certainly end-to-end football with a lot of chances being created at both sides.
What was it like even just heading into that match? Because nobody thought Anna United would be in the position they were to finish second in the Championship this year anyway, I'm sure. As a team, you're surprised at how quickly you've progressed. So how do you keep everything in check and make sure you approach a match against the Premiership team in the right fashion?
Well, we had played, we met us the Cup final. We had played Warren Point. We would have been sort of in and around the sort of league table where Portadown were. And then obviously, you know, coming into January and February, where we're still up and around the league table. And then it was basically the old saying, it was a game at a time and see where we're at. and this in the era where we're under no illusions of where we are in terms of our development as a club and stuff. But, you know, the win, we kept winning and so, sort of breathed confidence into the younger players and just kept going and going. But going into the game, like it was in, like all the pressure was on Portadown. You know, we were under no illusions and stuff of where we are. And listen, it was a great achievement, even for a club of our size and stature, to finish second in the championship in our first year competing at.
It looked like a healthy crowd as well at your ground.
Yeah, no, it was definitely, it was like surreal, even for myself, because like, I've been here from the start 4 or 5 years ago, and the crowds that we were getting. And then I looked around just before we were about to kick off the other night, and that's hopefully gives everyone a taste for it going forward. And obviously them occasions as a player, that's what you sort of strive to be playing week in, week out. It gives you, hopefully gives you, the younger players, an appetite of seeing what can be done with a bit of hard work and a bit of momentum.
It is amazing the impact that can have as well. I'm sure it just sends adrenaline coursing. You're no stranger to it, but as you mentioned, some of the younger players, it can go either way, that, can't it, when you look around and see so many faces?
Oh, no, it definitely can. The younger players, like, have been sort of... A lot of them players are playing at championship level for the first time, you know, and even playing against Premier League clubs in playoffs, you know, it would have been very first for a lot of the players. But to be fair to them, they done very, very well, and obviously they've had a very good season, so confidence is high in among us.
And even after going behind in the match, you were able to respond, and I guess it's some of the guys that have been really stepping up all season doing that for you. Lee Upton's had a brilliant campaign by all accounts, and then maybe more expecting Stephen Murray to get on the score sheet, and somewhat typical against his old club, to send you into the break with an advantage there.
Yeah, no, definitely. As I said, when we went 1-0 down, like with a lot of players not playing at this level before, it could have been easy for us to get rolled over, and Portadown came and steamrolled, especially with the crowd and stuff there. But to be fair, the boys stuck at it, and we hit back with 2 goals, and even at 2-1 with 2 or 3 really good chances to extend their lead. And Lee Upton, as you mentioned there, he's been very, very good this year, and obviously Stephen, he's played at the Premier League, he knows the league inside out and stuff, so it was a great finish for himself. But he had 2 or 3 other chances that possibly on another day he could have put them in, you know. So listen, it's all to play for. It was important going into the coming out of the first leg tie that we went to Shamrock was something to play for, and it's definitely well tied in the balance now.
From Anna's perspective, has this taken on more of a derby feel than it would have had a few years ago?
When I say derby, yes, the clubs are close together and stuff, but there's also probably a bit of the edge with, there's a lot of our players that have probably been at Portadown before, and maybe with potential points to prove, especially the younger players came through the system and never really got a chance in the first team at Portadown, and they've probably said to themselves, well, I'm going to show Portadown or a club or even potential suitors what I can do. So, no, it has a wee added feel, but we were just sort of concentrating on ourselves and making sure that we're putting in performance after performance and just seeing where it takes us.
Because on the face of it, it's a strange one, isn't it, Niall? You know, if someone had said to you beforehand, look, you'll be a go behind heading into the deciding game at Shamrock Park, I would imagine you wouldn't have been too disappointed, but you were winning at half time, so how do you kind of figure that all out in your own heads? Are you disappointed at this moment in time, or are you still okay that you're in the race?
I would say immediate thought after the game would have been a huge disappointment, as in just terms of what we had put in. And I think anyone going to the game or looking at the game would have said a draw probably would have been the least we deserved. But, you know, reflecting over yesterday and stuff, you know, you're going into a one-off game here at Shamrock Park to try and get the club into the Premier League. And, you know, if you look at our home record against our away record this year, away record, it's probably up there with probably the best, if not the best, in the championship. So we're more than capable of going to away grounds and playing and winning games. And that's what we've done all the year. And Friday night will be no different.
Yeah, we're speaking ahead of the Friday night game. Our listeners, for them listening on Friday, it's only a few hours away. But what's the I guess, the downtime like? I imagine you're not going to be training too hard with the way this season has been.
I know. We were just in doing a recovery session on Wednesday evening, and then obviously tonight we'll not do too much, and then we'll just gear up and get ourselves ready for what probably is a cup final on Friday night for us. So, no, it's been a great season for us, and hopefully we can just finish it off in the right fashion here on Friday.
And sometimes, isn't it just nice to go into a game knowing exactly what your job is? There's no permutations here, really. It's a must-win game for Annie United if they're to do what nobody gave them a sniff of doing.
All along, like, if someone had said us at the start of the year that you want to get into, like, a playoff for the Premier League, you know, there would have been a lot of people, and probably inside and outside, you know, would have been laughing at us. But, you know, as the seasons went on and we've seen teams around us, and, you know, we've sort of said, like, we're not a million miles off, like, so, as I said, confidence brings winning, they go together, and obviously we've been used to winning a lot of games this year, so long may it continue.
And I imagine, we're talking about the good crowds at the BMG Arena the other night, there'll be a very healthy crowd at Shamrock Park because they're doing free in, so with the, you know, a bigger stadium, you want to see that packed to the rafters and have as many of your supporters there making as much noise as possible.
Oh, most definitely. It's, as I said, the players, for even the committee and stuff, it's a glamour tie for local derby for Ariana to be going to Shamrock Park. As I said, there'll be a massive crowd on Friday, and with that, you know, it'll even bring more pressure on Portadown, you know, because obviously they'll be expected to come out and steamroll us and with a big crowd there, and hopefully, you know, we have a few experienced players that hopefully will rise to the occasion on Friday and keep everything intact, and as I said before, like, we've nothing to lose, we're just going to enjoy it and just see where it takes us, Michael.
It seemed when your league campaign ended, you know, having that confirmed second spot, there was a real celebration around the club in itself. Did a couple of people have to go round, you know, experienced heads and be spoiled sports and say, look, the job isn't done?
Yeah, I think because we had been second for a while, maybe at the turn of the year, I'm looking up and around that, I think it was a more of a sense of relief that we'd finally nailed the playoff place. It'd been brewing for maybe 5 or 6 weeks leading up to it, and you know, there was Ballinmallard knocking on the door, Loughgall were knocking on the door, there was a few clubs in and around were putting pressure on us, and I think that, you know, as I said, a lot of players have never been in that situation before, and, you know, it was probably a sense of relief at the Wilders just to get the job done, and knowing we could rest our feet up for the following week against Loughgall and be ready then for, which was two massive games ahead, so it was, but as I said, like, you know, we know where we're at, as I said, in terms of our development, and we know we haven't achieved what we want to achieve, but, you know, it's there in front of us for Friday night.
And, you know, there'll be no disgrace if it doesn't work out to be Anna United's night, but I think another season in the Championship, you know, it's going to be another competitive one, and of all the different teams, Ballinamallard will feel they can do better, the Welders will feel they'll do better, Loughall will certainly have a point to prove, and you get the sense that maybe they felt that. I know you made a whole raft of changes, if not the entire team, for the game at Lakeview for the final match of the season, but I mean, a 12-1 scoreline, no matter who's on the pitch, doesn't look the best.
No, it didn't look the best now, and, you know, there was wholesale changes, but at the end of the day, it's still a competitive game of football, and, you know, coming out maybe 4 or 5 wouldn't look too bad, but 12-1, to be honest, in hindsight, was probably, it was embarrassing, even for to be involved, you know, as a club, to have that scoreline, but looking back, I don't think there's another manager in any league that wouldn't have played a team. You look at Portadown's team on Tuesday night against us, there wasn't one player that played the previous Saturday against Carrick and they were beat 4 or 5. So, in hindsight, yes, the scoreline wasn't great reading, and to be honest, it was a bit embarrassing, but I don't think there was any other manager in the country wouldn't have done the same thing that Kieran done and didn't play any of his players that was going to play the following Tuesday. Yes, there was just too much at risk, to be honest, for a dead rubber game.
And these are the decisions managers have to make ultimately anyway, which games, you know, are their priorities, and they have to cut their cloth accordingly, and it's not just Annie United that have done that. Just on your manager, how much of this success is down to how he has been able to galvanize the team. Because, yes, you know, the players need to do their job too, and I take nothing away from the ability on the pitch, but I just wonder sometimes how valuable the person steering the ship can be.
Oh, it's massive. It's massive. And, you know, even because Kieran has got a great affiliation with the club, with, you know, his dad being one of the founding members from the club. And he takes great pride in everything he does. And obviously, you know, if, when someone's driving the ship and they're leading by example and everything that they do, and they're striving for the best for the players and for the club, but so it ruffles down onto the players, and that can only be a good thing and positive for the club.
So let me paint the picture, a hypothetical. I know everyone loves one of those. Say it's you're winning the game by a goal, and if you score another goal, that'll take you up to the promised land. You win a penalty. Are you wrestling people out of the way to take that penalty, or who gets it?
Well, Stevie Murray, he's designated. I actually was a penalty taker for the club, but Stevie Murray had signed in the summer, and the first league game of the season, the League Cup, he had said to me in the warm-up, he says, I'm looking to get off. And, you know, obviously, the goal scorers, he wants to get off. He said, if we get a penalty, will he give it to me? And I said, I will. So he actually scored one instead of you against Knockbreda in the League Cup. And then I think he's so, listen, if he said on them, because he hasn't missed. So I would say it's Stevie Murray. If not, it'll definitely be myself. So, listen, if that happens, it'll be hypothetical, as you say, but it'll be some buzz.
I would be very interested to see the look between the pair of you if that moment were to come about, because that'll be there'll be a lot not said but said at the same time, just in that glance, I would have thought.
Oh, definitely would. Man, you know, I've scored one already this season at Wet Institute when Stevie was actually, he got taken off previously, but he scored one. He'd scored actually in the Wilders game to get us over the line, so if he's on the pitch, he'll be number one, definitely.
I like you getting your wee CV in there all the same. If McGurgs is listening, hear that, Kieran. Remember me, gaffer?
Yeah.
Very good. Well, look, Niall, great talking to you, and best of luck in what will be, no matter what way it goes, a really exciting game at Shamrock Park, without question.
Oh, I will, Michael. Thanks very much for everything. Yeah, no, it'll definitely be, it'll be a great occasion. I am obviously really looking forward to it.
The Score with Michael Clark.
What are your thoughts on the game? Will you be cheering on Anna United or Portadown? Can Portadown keep themselves in the top flight? Well, one person who will most certainly be hoping that they can preserve their Premiership status is Billy Steadman. He has been at Portadown since January and making a very good impression. I was speaking to him yesterday ahead of this crucial match later tonight. Throughout the conversation, we of course do talk about the match, but I began by asking him about how he has found life in the top flight of Northern Irish football.
Yeah, well, it's been good since I come, to be fair. Obviously, when I come in, I was coming into a team that were obviously fighting relegation, but since the new manager came in, I think we've done well since. To be in the position we are, we could have been in automatic relegation. So we've done well to leave ourselves with a chance of staying in the league.
Did you know how tough it was going to be when you signed for Portadown?
To be fair, I didn't. It's so physical. I didn't know it was going to be like that. So a player like myself, I've had to adapt. I've had to change my game because obviously I'm not the biggest, I'm not the strongest, I'm more technical. So I have had to adapt my game.
That is the thing that people certainly feel about this league. And I mean, you're a young man. What are you, 22?
Yeah, just turned 22 now, yeah.
So a belated happy birthday. When was your birthday?
It was November.
Oh, well, you said just turned. I'm not having that.
Oh, well, yeah, well, 22 now. Still got a bit to go on 23.
Keeping yourself nice and young by saying just turned. That's okay. I've been doing that ever since I hit 30. And we'll not worry about the plus years. Looking at it, you know, it is a physical league. That can only aid your development, you would think.
Oh, 100%. It's done me well. I needed this, I think. Obviously, I'm not getting no younger. So, yeah, to come in now and hit the ground running, I've done well.
And only a couple of weeks ago, getting your first goal for Portadown must do your confidence the world of good, because it's clearly a part of your game.
Oh, 100%. I needed that goal. I needed to get off the mark. Obviously, I've got a lot of assistance, okay, but obviously I needed that goal to get me going now, and hopefully I can get a few more in this last game.
What's allowed you to kind of hit that important form in front of goal? Was it a confidence thing? Was it settling in? What was it?
Yeah, so as soon as I found my feet, and I knew it was going to come. I knew I had it in my locker. So just getting that first one now should be well away now. I've got the feel for it. I want to feel it every week.
And you say that, you know, things, and we've seen that, have started to improve for Portadown, being able to, first of all, avoid the automatic relegation. But I would imagine just the period before that has been pretty tough mentally on the players. How have you been able to pull together to ensure, first of all, that that wasn't the case, and now to give yourselves a fighting chance of staying up?
Yeah, of course. So when I came in the end of January, obviously the new manager came in. I think he just upped the spirit. He just said, listen, forget, let's draw a line under it. Our season starts now. We pick up as many points as we can to give us the best chance. And that's what we've done. I think we picked up a lot of points from the games that we had against good teams as well. We got some results.
You make it sound so easy. Paul Doolan's obviously made a good impression.
Oh, yeah, he's been perfect, to be fair. He's got behind the boys. The training's been good. He's got us in more than we normally are. So, yeah, he's changed a lot of things around the club, to be fair.
What was he saying going into the Anna United game? Because those matches, I think, are always fascinating, because you've one team who maybe aren't necessarily feeling high on confidence. You have another team who most certainly are, and they're the underdogs with the pressure off. Was he warning you about what this game could turn into?
That's definitely, like, we got it all to lose and they've got nothing to lose, everything to gain. So the pressure was on us massively, but we've been preparing for them. We've been watching them, watching videos on them. So we knew what to expect. We knew what game it was going to be, and we knew by the end of the game, hopefully our fitness would take over and our ability would show. But we knew the first half was always going to be a fight.
It certainly looked that way. I mean, despite going in front 2-1 down at half time, was there a need for some harsh home truths?
Yeah, to be fair, at half time it wasn't the pleasantest of team talks I've ever been in, but it obviously done the job because we came out second half flying and got what we deserved, I think.
Goals at important times as well. Stephen Teggart gets the leveller with 20 minutes to go. You're involved in that one, and then it wasn't even 2 minutes later, was it? You get on the score sheet yourself?
Yeah, I think it was around 2 minutes later. Yeah, but yeah, it was a quick turnaround, and I think the goal from Stephen, it just lifted the whole team, and we knew from then that we can go win this now and got the advantage going into tomorrow's game.
It just shows you, doesn't it? I mean, how quickly things can change in a game of football. And what struck me watching those goals back is it felt like Anna had bodies on the line and everything. They were throwing everyone in the way, so they obviously put up a really good fight.
Oh, 100%. Well, I think my goal, I watched it back, and I think they had three defenders on the line. But they give it their everything, and I can't take that away from them. They put us to the test, and tomorrow's not going to be easy. The game's not over at all. We've got a 1-0 advantage, but it's all to play for.
And that, I'm sure, is the message. Do you go into that with any fear? Because you've got a lead to protect there, but you don't want to rely on that one goal.
No, definitely. We don't change our game. We don't go into the game thinking we're going to defend and protect the lead. We go in the game, we want to win this game. I want another goal. I want another assist. We want a 2-3 goal advantage. Then we can start relaxing. But their long throw-ins, their corners, their threat from every set piece. So we can't relax now. We have to get more in the lead.
For anyone that isn't aware of your footballing journey, it most certainly is an interesting one. People will maybe be aware of your time at Coventry City, but you also had a spell in Iceland.
Yeah. So I started my career at Southampton. So I was at Southampton for 10 years. And then I joined Coventry as a scholar and then done my scholar there. Got my 2-year pro. So I've done my pro at Coventry, made my debut at Coventry. And then at the end of that, I flew out to Iceland for a season, yes.
It was a weird as experience. You do.
Yeah, I know, weird experience. It was in COVID, the start of COVID, so stop start. But luckily I was sharing a house with Michael Newbury, he's now at Linfield.
Yeah.
So I had him out there, which was lucky really, because he's already been there for a season, so he made me feel at home, you know. So that's got me through it. And now he's at Linfield doing well and I'm here.
So football through COVID was just strange and not really nice for anybody, and nor have the last couple of years been, in fairness. You know, in the reflection of things, football can't complain when you've seen what the world's gone through. But being in Iceland, it is, from what I'm told, a beautiful country. Did you get to do anything and see any of Iceland, or with the different restrictions, was it difficult?
Luckily, because in COVID, we flew home, had a month or 2 months off. Then we came back, it stopped again. So I didn't get to see anything for the first 3, 4, 5 months, but towards the end of the season, stuff started going back to normal. So I got to go see the Blue Lagoon. I got to go see the Northern Lights. So I got to do things then. But it is a very nice country. but it was the cold weather. It wasn't one of our strong points.
I think what the Irish League should do is make sure that before we bring players in from different countries, get them to Iceland first, because yeah. Then when they come here, they go, it's actually okay, import it down.
Exactly, everyone's moaning about it being cold, and I'm thinking, this is nothing, this is normal. But yeah, no, it was a good experience. I wasn't trained yet.
In terms of, you know, your own ambitions, because you strike me from what I understand about your career so far and from the times that, you know, I've read up on you a little bit, it seems mm-hmm. like you're someone that really wants to push themselves. So have you kind of got goals for the future beyond Friday and what that means?
Mm-hmm. So obviously my goal just is now just keeping Port down where they deserve to be, I think, over their history. So my job is to keep us in the league and then we'll go from there. But obviously I'm 22 now, I'm not getting younger. I just want to aim to play the highest I can play to my ability, you know. I'm going to give it everything and just see where it takes me.
This league, I mean, across, you can see just how competitive it mm-hmm. is. I'm wondering, were you in touch with Michael Newbury with you having that experience of, you know, being in Iceland together? I would imagine that made you quite close. Have you been in touch with him and seeing, you know, how he's been feeling throughout the season? Because he's been at the other end of the table pushing for and now winning the title.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's been on top of the moon the whole season, although he has picked up some injuries, so he's not played as much as he'd like. But yeah, Michael, obviously, he was here before I came, so he gave me an insight on the league. He said, like, it's a good window, it's a good platform, it's a physical league, there's fans, it's a nice stadium. So he said, take it with both hands, Bill. So I came, and I have, luckily. I hit the ground running, played every game since I signed. So yeah, I've done well.
It's something, because, I mean, everyone listening to this program will be very passionate about the football and the standard here. It's always a debate about players from Northern Ireland, whether they should stay a bit longer, get the experience, the physicality of playing men's senior football mm-hmm. before they make the move to England as an academy product, if I can mm-hmm. put it that way. And you get a different sort of upbringing in the game where there's a lot of technical learning. There's, well, just a different way of being coached, I guess. You see the pros and cons to both, I would have thought. What would you advise, do you think?
Now, looking back on it, I would 100% say to any young boy, stay, play men's games here. Play as many games as you can, get the experience you can before you make the move. I said, because sometimes how nice academy is and how well you're treated, but it's not real. It's like some days you're playing against first team players who are coming back from injury, and the next week you're playing against under 16s. It's not real at all. I think playing men's games here, you'll benefit a lot more before you go across the water to England.
It's a really fascinating just development system that are in these clubs, and I know that it's created some amazing players, so I'm not trying to undermine what's going on at those clubs, because they're professionals and they must do it for a reason, but I do think there's a good deal of truth in what you're saying there.
Mm-hmm, 100%. I think get all the experience you can. There's nothing better than playing men's football. Competitive, but means something. So academy football means nothing. You win, you lose, it's the same thing. Here, if you lose, there's something on the line all the time. You play, always playing for something, and playing under the pressure at a young age, there's nothing better, I don't think. And I've done it the opposite way. I went through the academies, and if I could change things, I would play men's football at the youngest age possible.
There you go, folks. Some sage advice from Billy there. Just in terms of your teammates, I'm sure that having been here for a few months, you've got to develop some close friendships. Who are some of the personalities in the squad? I'm sure Portadown fans will be interested to know, you know, who the jokers are and what this dressing room is like.
Yeah, so the lads have been quality with me since I came, to be fair. But I think Joker, who always makes you laugh, is Adam Sally. He's always got a comment and always having everyone in stitches in the changing room.
I could only imagine some of the comments that might be going yeah. on in that changing room at times.
He's a character. Adam Sally, good player as well, very effective player.
That was the thing as well, because there was quite a few players arriving in and around the same time, so there was an upheaval there. Did you get a sense of that when you were coming in, or were you a little bit blind to sort of what was going on?
Yeah, I was so blind. Like, before I came, I knew no one. So I didn't know if you've been there 5 years or you've just signed. So yeah, I was blind to that side of it.
Which is nice in a way, because it's just a clean slate, isn't it? Go in, do your own thing.
100%, yeah, 100%.
So looking at it now, this game against Anna United, they're saying it's going to be a good crowd. We were talking about earlier in the programme, they're giving tickets free entry, which is fantastic. They want to make sure that you have that support there. How much will that lift you, do you think, to see, you know, lots of people in there cheering you on and to hear that sort of noise on the night?
Oh, 100%. I think it's nothing less than the fans deserve, to be fair, free entry, because obviously unfortunately the team haven't given them the best season. So to make a bad season into one of the best seasons would be perfect with everyone there. Because since I came, I've seen how much it means to the fans, and hopefully I've made the fans watch a bit better. But to us to get the win on Friday, it's just nothing more than they deserve.
I'll probably get barred from Portadown after I ask you this final question, but have you needed a translator or have you been okay?
Yeah, I have at times. I have at times. Until I get confident in front of someone, I will pretend that I know what they're saying, but I don't. But then when I get to know you, I say, what did you just say? Yeah, but I'm clicking on slowly. It's too quick for me at the moment.
We do talk very fast in general.
Very, very fast.
Yeah, that is something I have heard from travelling different places and speaking to people. It's something that we do. So, I'm glad that you seem settled at the moment. And, here's to whatever the future might hold for you, Billy. But thanks for coming on to The Score.
No problem at all, Michael. Thank you for having me.
The Score with Michael Clark.
Now it is time to talk about the Irish Cup final. Everyone hugely excited for it at this stage, naturally. And it's going to be either Crusaders or Ballymena United to get their hands on that highly sought-after trophy. I mean, it is the one that I think every player dreams of winning in their career. And this man is hoping he's going to be on the right side of history at the end of play on Saturday. He is Crusaders forward Adam Leckie. Adam, welcome onto The Score.
Thanks, Michael. Thanks for having me on.
What does the Irish Cup mean to you?
It's huge. I think at the start of the season, it's probably between Irish Cup and the league. I'd say it's probably the two that you sort of mark out as the ones you want to win. And then obviously you've got that added bonus of the European spot that comes with it. So now it's definitely huge for us as a team, and also personally, it's one of the big ones you want to get your hands on. So no, it's really important for us.
When people cast their minds back to last year's semi-final, I think they mainly think of Johnny Tuffy, and I don't know if, you know, he's 100% exercised those demons yet, but you've kind of got off the hook a wee bit.
Thanks for ringing us up, Michael, really. I had a dodgy red card, so a bit of a reckless tackle, but yeah, I sort of went under the radar because of the shenanigans afterwards with the penalties and stuff, so no, I haven't had much press coverage about that until now either. So no, I've got Tufts to thank for that. So no, but yeah, like that was last season, obviously. So that's probably something that's in the back of our minds too. That, you know, was a bit of a wrong to right there. But I think sort of everyone just felt we were a bit harshly done by on that one, just the way the penalties ended up. So no, it'd be nice to exercise that and right that wrong in our eyes.
Well, I was just thinking about the game against Cliftonville, because I did your semi-final last year and I did it again this year, and I was wondering how much, if at all, that sort of thing does play on your mind. You know, is something going to happen to us again? What can go wrong tonight, or how do you stop that happening as a player? Because I know for fans, it definitely creeps in.
To be fair, I don't really think it does play that much of a part. I think the way last season went, obviously we had that disappointment with the semi-final. And then shortly after that, we had more disappointment with the playoff semi-final. Mm-hmm. We got knocked out with a dodgy penalty call. So I think last season was just, once it finished, I think everyone was just glad to have that season close. So it just felt like nothing was going right. So I think maybe at the start of this season, it was more coming in with like a positive mindset and trying to just like put that behind us and move on, which I feel like we have done. So it sort of does feel like a long time ago that now. So I'm not really sure how much of a part we had to play, which is probably a good thing for us, to be fair, because you can't really, you know, you can't get hung up on past decisions or have sour grips about it. So it's, I don't think it's on that effective, hopefully.
We've heard different managers talk about scrutiny and the scrutiny their teams come under, the scrutiny they come under in the last week or two. And Crusaders are definitely a team that have come under scrutiny. I don't think many people give them much of a chance this season for silverware for whatever reason. It doesn't align with the history books, but well, getting to a final is certainly one way to shut people up. Winning it would be, I guess, the perfect remedy.
Yeah, no, I'd say that's probably fair. I think, you know, if you look at the start of the season, I don't think too many of the pundits or the people in around the league would have maybe tipped us to, you know, probably reach a final or, you know, push in the league. But I think we've probably had been a wee bit disappointed with our consistency, probably in the league, in league terms. You know, there's maybe been a few weeks here and there, a few months where we've maybe not been at it and we sort of let ourselves slip out of the title race. But I think, you know, over the last 3 or 3 months there, we've had really good form, and that's hopefully boding well and going into this final. But I think there's a bit of a confidence and a bit of a bounce around the camp that we are playing well, and, you know, confidence is pretty high. So, fingers crossed, you know, we can roll this into the final on Saturday and just get the job done. And I think if we were able to go on and hopefully, you know, lift the Irish Cup, I think that would probably go down then as a sort of a satisfying end of the season and probably mark it off as a successful one.
It is, I guess, funny how football can work out that, you know, you have this chance in the final and it just happens to be against the club that you were at previously.
Aye, that's it. It's funny how it goes, like, so that's probably just an added layer of complexity to the final for me. But no, listen, I've nothing but respect for Ballymena. Obviously, I was a part of a team there for a couple of years and made it to a final ourselves, and had suffered a bit of heartbreak in that. So as I was saying, I've nothing but respect for Ballymena. But at the end of the day, you know, I'm a Crusaders player now, and I have a job to do both for my team and, you know, for myself personally. I want to get my hands on the winner's medal. So it's all about just getting my head right and focusing on the day itself and trying not to get caught up with the opposition that you're playing too much.
So when you're walking past David Jeffrey, there's not like a temptation to still call him gaffer or boss or anything like that?
As I was saying, I've nothing but respect, and you know, David knows that. I've shared great times with him and stuff, so there's no bad blood there or anything like that, so I'm sure we'll obviously sort of the best. Hopefully the best team wins on Saturday, and hopefully there's no controversy, which would be a great one.
Certainly, it'd be an added bonus. You want a football match to be won the right way, and we all feel that. Looking at Ballymena United, they seem to be a team as well that have galvanised themselves in recent weeks, and it's all kind of nicely worked its way towards this final, if you like, for both teams and how they've ended their campaigns.
Yeah, no, they've done well. Came through some really tricky ties, but you know, if you look at Ballymena's record, over the past number of seasons, especially under David, it's been a superb record in cup competitions. Maybe this season and last season they've probably suffered a wee bit in terms of, again, consistency in the league, but maybe I know they've sort of had bad injuries and spells throughout that, so that's probably played its part. But no, they're a very, very dangerous opponent. You only have to look at the teams they beat this season. You know, they've turned over Linfield and Larne and possibly Ben Thorne. In fact, they beat us at Crusaders a couple of times this year already. So listen, we know exactly what they're all about, and they're a very dangerous opponent. And I think people are maybe putting them down as underdogs for this, but in our eyes, it's going to be a massively tough game, and we'll definitely not underestimate them, that's for sure.
When you look through your squad, I mean, there are some very exciting young players coming through, but it still, you know, stands out that the experienced heads, if you want to go with that, and it's funny because we talk about Jordan Owens, for example, as if he's 110. He's the same age as me. I think he's a year older than you, if as much as that, Adam. So it's just because we've seen them for so long. But the likes of the experience that he has, Paul Heatley, the pace that he still has in his mid-30s, I'm sure that those players with experience in a final is what your squad wants to have.
Yeah, no, that's it. We've got mounds of experience throughout the squad. You know, you chuck in as well as those players you mentioned, then you're looking at Billy Joe Burns and Philip Larry as well, who, you know, I don't know how many finals they've been there, how many league titles they've lifted, but I think on big days, like in a cup final, I think experience is key. And I'm sure that's something we'll be looking to tap into. I know, sort of speaking from my own experience, I remember the first cup final I played was actually with Ballymena. And just, I think, out of an experience, I think the whole week before can be a bit draining. And by the time the match actually comes around, you know, you nearly find it, I sort of found it nearly shot. And I think we were playing Linfield that game, and they obviously had players of experience, and I just felt they were so much more controlled, or so much sort of more ready for it. So I think that's something that we'll be looking to tap into and try and benefit from on the day, is that experience of those players who've been there and done it before many times over.
Well, you mentioned Billy Joe Burns. Yeah, I know he's still trying to claim the semi-final goal. We've all watched that back. I don't think he can have it, but in fairness to him, it turns out he is actually still able to score worldies. We can still say that, because when he was playing at left back the other week, there was a few eyebrows raised, but when you can cut in and smash it with your right foot like that, I think it's a quick way to say, no, lads, I've still got it.
Yeah, no, that goal's a screamer. Like, I think he's got himself a contender for goal of the year. But no, I think he ended up just playing left back that day of necessity. I think we had a couple of injuries and stuff, so he was sort of filling a gap. But no, it just fell perfectly for him, and he's put it right in the top corner. But in fairness to him, he tries it all the time in training, like, and he gets absolute flack for it because he's shooting constantly. But he always says he has it in his locker, so he's just wrong with that one, I suppose. But I suppose then again, if you shoot, you know, shoot 100 times, you're going to score once, I suppose, isn't it? So he's played the numbers game there, I think.
Well, speaking of that, someone who I would imagine would be rather insufferable when they score, because he also got a really good goal recently, and I know he boasted to me that he scored the greatest goal ever scored in training a few months ago, and then he's gone and scored a really good goal in a match. Daniel Larmour, I mean, are you ever going to hear the end of that?
Dan, what a guy. I need to be careful here, because Dan shares my car food, so I can't be too cutting on him. But no, he's big man done well. He's popped up, you know, he has proved himself a threat in the opposite box, which he sort of has a bit of a knack there, getting into things. So he scored a couple of goals in recent weeks. So no, I'm sure, listen, if Dan pops up with a winner on Saturday, he can brag all he wants. I think the rest of us will be happy to listen to it, but if we got our hands up, so hopefully that happens.
Because when you talk about personalities around the team, you're not shy of them at Seaview, but Larmour might surprise a few uninitiated, but he's certainly one of them.
Dan, it's a good dressing room. There's a good buzz about it at the minute. You know, there's good characters there, and you know, the boys are bouncing off each other. But yeah, Dan's a bit of it like myself, a bit more laid back, but he'd be witty as well with it. So now he definitely had the good dynamic in the changing room. I think, you know, the boys do enjoy him, so. He's a good lad.
In terms of people's preparations for the final and coming up to it, yours has been slightly different because you've had a very welcome addition to your own team, to the Leckie family, and we congratulate you on that. The birth of a child is a wonderful thing. I'm just wondering how well rested you're going to be for the Saturday showpiece.
Yeah, that's it. Like, my wife gave birth to her first wee baby boy, Joey, there just a week ago. So, no, it's been, as you probably know yourself, it's turn your house upside down. So it's been certainly been challenging. But no, I think it sort of helped the weeks go in, you know, because obviously, as I was saying, you know, the build-up to the cup final can be a bit draining, but I've sort of just been shut off just at home here. And it's been good just between that and just obviously being training and stuff. So it meant the weeks flowing in. But no, to be fair, Amy's been superb, and she's... I've sort of been able to get my naps in here and there, so I'm feeling not too bad, so hopefully I'll be well rested and ready for the game Saturday.
I imagine you might take on a few extra duties as soon as the cup final's over. She might be being very understanding there.
Yeah, no, I'll probably have to pay that one back, so I'll probably have to get the Hoover out and stuff today here, just there in a few brownie points.
And just in terms of the atmosphere around the club in the lead up to this, because I know there's been changes to the squad in the last couple of games, and your manager's talked about keeping people fresh and giving people chances and all the things that happen towards the end of a season anyway, but what's training been like, and how ready do you think are your teammates for Saturday?
Yeah, well, it's probably been a difficult one to manage, because obviously we won through in the semi-final, and then we were left then with our post-split game, so it's probably been a tricky one for the manager to manage, because, you know, the tendency maybe is just to rest your key players or the players you know are going to play. But, you know, with that, maybe I think it was a month or roughly, you know, five games in between, it's probably too long to wrap players in cotton wool. So I think what he's tried to do is maybe just make two or three changes each week, you know, to make sure certain players get a bit of a rest and are sort of hitting peak form. But I think it's probably worked well for us, and, you know, sort of be able to pick up a few results still in those post-split games, and I feel like we're still playing well. So, and then the boys obviously this week are flying and training, like, so hopefully it's hopefully what the manager's done there, and in terms of picking a couple of tears out here and there has aided us, and it means that we're all able to come into the game fresh on Saturday, so hopefully that's the case.
And I doubt anyone is even thinking about the what if you don't, because there's that, is it a safety net? Depends how you want to describe it. There's the chance to still have the playoffs if you don't win the final, but you don't want to be involved in the playoffs, let's be honest.
Yeah, no, that's fair to say. Like, I think, as you're saying, that hasn't been discussed too much, and it's probably more of a plan B or a safety net. So I think everything at the minute is just geared to the cup final on Saturday. And, you know, fingers crossed, hopefully we can get the job done. But if it turns out we can't, you know, I'm sure it'll be about resetting then and trying to, it's obviously a quick turnaround then with the playoffs the week after. So it'll be a matter of getting your head over the feet if it happens quickly and getting yourself ready again. But as I was saying, fingers crossed, you don't think it doesn't come to that, but we'll see.
Sometimes footballers have interesting goal celebrations planned if they score in a final. I'm just thinking, are you going to do the rockabye baby then, given the week or two that's been in it?
I'll have to see. I'll have to discuss what they enjoy here. But it would be nice. It would be definitely nice to get a goal. I'll have to think that one over.
Well, keep an eye out for some dodgy dance moves, Adam, if you do manage to score in the big game. Thanks so much for coming on to The Score, as always. Great to talk to you.
No worries, Michael. Thank you. Take it easy.
The Score with Michael Clark.
Well, we've heard a Crusaders perspective on things. Now let's turn our attention to the Sky Blues, and a man who will be really proud to lead the team out at Windsor Park on Saturday is their captain, Leroy Miller, who joins us now on The Score. Leroy, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me, Michael.
How are you feeling ahead of the game? It's a massive one, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a massive game, massive occasion, with a lot at stake. With European football also at stake as well, so we'll just need to be our best and see what we can get from it.
It seems that in the last couple of years you've been there or thereabouts in the Irish Cup. It's just a matter of, can you go all the way this time?
Yeah, in 2020, COVID times, we got Glentoran. Obviously, it was a pretty surreal moment. So it was with 500 fans and that, only allowed in each. So hopefully we'll experience the full thing this time and go one better.
What is it about this squad? Because, you know, it doesn't seem to matter what's going on in your league campaign. It seems that you're able to get to semi-finals and get to finals in cup competitions. How are you able to pull those results out when it matters?
It's just, there's a lot of character in that team there, Michael. So there is. We've been down tough times this year, so we have at the start of the season. We couldn't buy a win, so we could at times. But when we knew, when we get suspensions back and people back fit and available, we'd be more than a match for anyone. And thankfully, we've got them back now at a good time. And competition breeds success. And there's a lot of competition around the squad for places. And it's showing now with our performances and results.
It's such an incredible story in many ways, because as you say there, and I know as David Jeffrey, your manager, has said at different times, you have been hurting throughout this season. It's been a very hard and long campaign, and yet here you are with, you know, 90 minutes away from ending up saying, well, what a great year it's all been.
Yeah, well, we've got the chance to finish the season in a high after some terrible low times throughout the season, but you can never get too high, and you certainly and never get too low as well, because you're always going to have to pick yourself up and go again. And we know Crusaders are a fantastic side, and the league table doesn't lie. They've been better than us throughout the year on a consistency basis, and we know that we need to be our very, very best to give them a game.
Your run through to the final in itself even wasn't without complication. You know, look at every stage almost. After you come past the early rounds, if you like, the Larne game goes to penalties, and I mean, that was just a heart attack day, wasn't it, the quarter final?
Yeah, that's the game that sticks out, because it's another Premiership side, and Larne, good football side as well, but on our day, as I said, we're a match for anyone, and that game could have went anyway, but the boys just showed their character again. We went 2-0 down, and then 3-1 down at times, but we just dug in and got ourselves over the line, and thankfully, Keane Loughran put the penalty away at the end, and thankfully now, we've got a final to look forward to.
Those things, you know, sometimes you wonder, are they the moments that can just swing a whole team's belief? How much of a lift did that give all of you? Because as you say, 2-0 down and within 15 minutes as well, you get a goal back, you concede again, and Parkhouse scores just before half-time to give you a sniff, and Mikey Place takes it the extra time with his goal, about 12 minutes to go. Just how big are moments like that for morale? You know, forget about the rest of the cup campaign nearly, but just for your own belief that you can do it when it matters.
Yeah, that result, it's all about, you said it, you said the word there, it's about belief. When we went on and beat Lauren, you started to have the belief now that you can go on and do this and that and the other, but it's just about taking one game at a time. And we know on our day we're a match for anyone throughout the league, but hopefully come the 7th of May, it'll be our day.
Was the disruption and having to wait to find out whether it would be Newry City or Glentoran, was that detrimental in any way? And how did you deal with all of that, the waiting game?
Yeah, well, Davey's got it drilled into us. Like, that's all out of our power, so it is. And we just had to prepare each week and just keep on training, because there was places up for grabs in the semi-final. And I think that brought better performances out of boys, because we know that if you're not doing it, others can come in and take the shirt. And obviously, you don't want to be missing out in a semi-final at the time of the Irish Cup.
I'd been keeping Stephen McCulloch going because I'd seen him score a header this season, and I don't know if I'm going to see him score many headers, but free kicks are a more common occurrence for him, and it was a very good one to beat Newry.
Yeah, the game wasn't pretty. The first half, I would say Newry were probably the better side, and we weren't happy with ourselves. Davey from word go told us that this isn't going to be easy, and he hit the nail on the head, so he did. It was far from easy. First half, Newry got on top of us and made it very hard, and second half, I thought we did start better, but we just needed that wee bit of magic from Stephen McCulloch to get us over the line.
And at the end of the day, getting over the line was all that mattered. How impressed were you with Newry City? Obviously, they're back in the Premiership again next season.
Yeah, very impressed with Newry. They were like a Premiership team when we were playing them. They've got boys in the final third that can really hurt you, but they can mix it up. They're physical and they can play good football as well. So they'll be a real asset in the league next year, and they'll be ones to watch.
How far back does your love affair with Ballymena United go now? How many seasons have you been playing for the club?
Senior football would probably be 7-8 years, Michael, so it would be. So I've been there a long time, and the last time I won something was in 2017, League Cup final, mm-hmm. And 5 years on now, I'm still waiting to add to that. So we know finals isn't easy to get to, so you just have to savour each moment and just give it your all, and hopefully on the day you can come out on top.
Yes, I remember that well. That was against my beloved Carrick Rangers, and then Ballymena very kindly asked me to do the end-of-season dinner that year, Leroy. So I got to stand in front of a room and try not to be very upset. But I remember you all enjoying yourselves very much, if my memory serves me rightly. Days like that show that you can do it, but as you say, it's been a long time, and you want to try and do it again. With the pride you have, because I mean, Ballymena United is a club so close to your heart, it must mean that extra bit more when you get to a final. You know, it's not just a cup final or a medal for Leroy Miller. It's something more, isn't it?
No, it's all about Tim and all about fans and everyone together. Without the fans, obviously, Ballymena fans are the heartbeat of every football club, so they are. But every time I pull on that jersey, it's just a proud moment. And to lead the team out in an Irish Cup final will be absolutely massive, especially with European football at stake, and hopefully we can send the fans home happy.
And something I've been very happy to see this season for you, you know, is that you've been able to play so many games after last year, which I know must have been really, really challenging and tough. To be a mainstay, I mean, I think you've started nearly every game. So that goes to show, you know, what an asset you are to your club. But just personally, how good has it been to get back and enjoying your football after all the difficulties you've had?
Yeah, obviously last year I was out for 2-3 months with an injury, and it's very frustrating at times. But I got back at the tail end of last year, so I got to play in the semi-final of the Irish Cup, and we didn't do ourselves justice because we got Linfield in the semi-final and we didn't lay a glove on them the whole time. Linfield were just better than us all over the park, and that's still hurting a lot of boys in that changing room now. And thankfully last year we've got to the final, and hopefully we can put it right now.
As the captain, what's the dressing room like? Do you like to give a wee team talk? Do you leave it all to the manager, or what way does that work?
Well, as a captain, I would be more so leading the example with performances and that. I wouldn't be the most talkative. Maybe on the pitch I would be more of an encourager and that, but in and around the changing room, Davey's been about the league numerous years, so he has, and he knows what they say and when they say it. But we've got a lot of experienced people in there. Sean O'Neill came in January, so he did, and he's been unbelievable. And between the sticks, he's been very, very good. But it just adds that little bit extra in the changing room. You've got the likes of Ross Redman as well in there, a very experienced head. So they'll be keeping the boys right coming up to this final.
And even though he can't play, it'll be a bit of a strange one for Sean, won't it? Because he's a Ballymena player, he's on loan, but Crusaders is his parent club. It rules him out of the final, which seems unfair in many ways. And I guess it's lucky that you have more than one good goalkeeper there.
Yeah, I'm got it for Sean himself because he was unbelievable that time against Lawrence. He made a save in extra time, and from Andrew Mitchell, one of the shots was heading into the top corner, and he made a fantastic save. So I'm got it for him as well. It'll be weird times for him being on loan from his other club and both teams in the final. But thankfully, as you said, we've got another fantastic goalkeeper in Jordan Williamson, who's back from injury and all now, and he's just as good as Sean. So we're not weaker in that department.
Just wonder, is Sean going to do like a go one up on John Terry? Has he packed two kits just in case?
I wouldn't surprise me if I'm back with that boy, but we'll see you on the day. Sure.
Final whistle goes and he's in the winning kit, whoever that is.
Wouldn't be surprised, he's a character.
I'm sure he's been lighting up the dressing room. I don't know if he's still doing his Al Pacino impersonations, but he's not usually one to sit quiet for too long, or Sean, is he?
No, he's a top man, so he has, as you say, he's got a lot of experience, and hopefully we can use that to our benefit and get us over the line on the day.
What way do you see the game going? I mean, have you got an idea in your mind as to how you want to approach this one?
No, not even, Michael, so we don't. We just know that Crusaders will be going in as heavy favourites, as the league table doesn't lie. It's your bread and butter and consistency throughout the years. They've been up there, and more so the turn of the year. They've went very, very under the radar, and more so in recent weeks. They've put in some good performances. There's not many teams in our league go to Louisville and beat Glentoran 4-0, and Crusaders managed to do that. So they've hit form at the right time, but we'll be going into the game as underdogs. So we know that ourselves, and hopefully that'll work the us the IT and we can get over the line, as I said.
I've seen a lot of talk, and understandably when you come into a final, you see these sorts of things, you know, faces from the past coming out, memories being shared of 1989 and the long wait for Ballymena United. I'm going to make a few of our listeners feel awful here and say that neither you nor I were born in 1989, so no memories of it, but I'm sure you've been hearing stories and talking to people who are telling you, you know, what it was like and what it would mean for the town.
Yeah, I've listened to a lot of interviews and that, and people going on about 1989 and that, and it was some achievement for them boys to win it then, so it was. But the history books are there, and if you need that added extra incentive to go on and win it, there it is for you. You shouldn't be needing anything extra in an Irish Cup final, but if you just need that little bit extra, there it is for you.
There it is indeed. Lauren, the unlucky team on that day, 1-0 to Ballymena. Some Ballymena fans can wipe a tear from their eye from all those years ago, but they'll be hoping that it's all happy tears at full time. In terms of a final, I'm well aware as a commentator we get excited about what's going on the pitch, but in and around it as well, for friends and family, it's such a big occasion, and sometimes we can lose sight of just the personal value to players. I'm sure you're bringing a few nearest and dearest along with you for the big day.
Yeah, this week's been helter-skelter with everything that's been going on, getting suited and booted, and just so much going not happening off the pitch there is. But at the end of the day, if you don't do the business on the pitch, it'll be forgot about very, very quickly. So the rest of that's irrelevant if you don't go on and do your business on the pitch.
You're going to bring a few family members along to cheer you on?
Yeah, the missus will be up and my dad will be up, so, and then there'll be a lot of friends as well. So thankful for their support throughout the season. Obviously, during the tough times for all our fans, it would be nice to let them finish the season on a high and repay some of their faith that they've shown in us.
And now tell me this, would your dad be much of a shouter when he's watching the football, or is he a good spectator?
No, he'd be a good spectator. Well, I don't hear him, so that's the main thing.
That's always an interesting one for me, because some parents are shouting, and it might be just encouragement, but so, I speak to some players who say, I can always hear my mum or I can always hear my dad, so your dad wouldn't be galdering too much?
No, you would just get the phone call after the game, so you wouldn't. They'd be telling you what you've done bad. There's not usually too much good, they say, but it's usually bad.
Well, it keeps you grounded, if nothing else. Yes, I have people that do that for my commentary, so don't worry about that at all. It's an exciting match, there's no doubt about it. Just finally, on the manager, David Jeffrey, just how much of an influence do you think he's had on your career? Obviously, he's come in and he's seen a lot in you and given you the armband. So what have you got to say about him?
Yeah, David and Brian, since day one, both of them have shown faith in me and stuck by me from day one, as I said, and owe a lot to them, and I'll continue to put in as much as I can for the club and for every game I go out there and put on that sky blue jersey. I'm thankful for David and Brian, because before they came in, I wasn't getting a consistent run of games, and thankfully now I am, and hopefully I can keep repaying them both and putting in the good performances, and no better time to put in a good performance on Saturday, and hopefully we can get over the line and win the Irish Cup.
Leroy, it's been really good catching up with you. Thanks very much for coming on to The Score.
Thanks very much, Michael. Thanks for having me.
The Score with Michael Clark.
And that takes us neatly to the end of the programme and indeed the series. Don't be too upset. What's the old saying? Don't cry because it's over. Smile because it happened. I'm sure you'll miss us. But we will be back for a new campaign. So don't worry. It won't be too long in coming around. Sincere thank you to all my guests on this week's show, to Leroy Miller, who you've just heard, and Adam Leckie, ahead of their Irish Cup final. Good luck to both teams involved in that, and to Niall Henderson and Billy Steadman, ahead of their promotion relegation battle later on. That will be a humdinger at Shamrock Park, that we can guarantee. To all of our guests throughout the campaign, the many people who have made it possible behind the scenes, I want to say thank you to you as well. And all that is left to say at this stage is enjoy your weekend of sport and have a lovely summer, folks. I'll speak to you again soon. Bye-bye.